Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
That friend decided that it was so beautiful and so wonderful and had so much excellent content in it that they wanted to share it with others, in fact, with a lot of others or with everyone, then that letter becomes for them also. You understand that, right? That something can bless many people. And that's the way, how much more God's word. So this letter was to the Church of Jerusalem. The outline, I feel, of Jude's letter is perfect. No surprise in that because it is the word of God, right? He first identifies himself, and you already know what I would say about that. So we understand that Jude is a humble man, and that he's also the brother of Jesus Christ and a servant of Jesus Christ. He immediately, as he begins his letter, he speaks a blessing over this church of Jerusalem. Should we not speak a blessing over our churches? And he is writing, since it is for us also, that blessing trickles down to us and it blesses us and we can receive the blessing. We can receive the blessing. And then he explains the purpose of his letter, and you see how wonderful it is, identification and blessing them. You know, if you're going to warn somebody of something, come on, just greet them first. You don't just go in and go, well, I have terrible news, I have a warning. You know, this is who I am. You know, you need to kind of know a little bit about my character. And one of the things that I routinely do when I'm praying for people that do not know me is say, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much, and I am blood-bought, therefore I am the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But to the best of my ability, I am living a right life with hopefully fruit that will support that in my character, because you don't want just anyone imparting words to you, okay? And a word out of season, you want the word in season. That's the word of God. So he speaks a blessing over this church and to us. He explains the purpose of the letter and gives us the backstory. He actually gives us some behind the scene, his thoughts. I wanted to write such wonderful things, but there's something of greater importance. It that will be more helpful to you. It's urgent. It will be more valuable. This is going to be a warning. And if you are willing to warn someone, it's because you love them. It is only because you love them. If you don't, and Jude has his priorities in order. He could have just said, I just want to preach on love today. We're just going to talk about joy. But you can't do that if there's a snake crawling around the room, can you? You might come to church and I could say, I just want to tell you about the miracles that happened and everything. But I don't tell you that there is a fire in the basement that needs to be put out. There's a flood or there's a burglar down there that's waiting to. Come on now. We have to have our priorities straight. We have to take care of first things first. So we need to understand that. I remember sitting home one night, and Erica at that time lived about 9 minutes from me, and she called absolutely hysterical. You probably some remember this story. She was crying, she was sobbing, saying, don't hang up on me. I was grabbing my keys even as she was talking. She's saying, come to me. And I was getting my keys and I was driving, and she said, the police are on their way. She didn't even tell me why. And then as we were driving, she said, you know, the man that scaled down the federal building a couple days ago, those two men that scaled down, she said, he was on the news tonight. And she said, they showed his picture. And she said, but he was at my door a few hours ago. She said, he's here. He's around here. And he's asking questions. And she was just terrified. And because he had come to her house, come to find out later, he had been hiding in their laundry room in that complex for some time in the apartment, and it just terrified her. But she didn't call me and say, I'd like to tell you about the latest crafts I made, and I'd like to tell you about, you know, how everything's so wonderful. She was giving me the warning first. We have to take care of these things. And that's what Jude is doing. He's telling the church, before you can continue on, before we can preach on love and joy and peace and happiness, I've got to tell you, we have unfinished business. And he talks about that, warns the church that there are people who snuck in, who crept in, and these are ungodly people. And he is very bold with them, and I like that too, because he out and out says that you aren't aware of this. You really don't get this. You're not aware that these people, and he didn't tell them something interesting. He didn't say that these people are going to come in. He said they're already there. You need to know if they're already there, don't you? You know, they're not on their way now. He's telling them they're sitting with you. Now, let me tell you why this is bold. It's bold simply because these are going to be people they're very familiar with. These are going to be people that they have already fellowshipped with. They've developed a connection with these people. And so he's not going to name them. By the way, this letter contains a lot of wisdom on the part of Jude. He knows that they have the possibility of being deceived, that these people have assimilated themselves into the community, the church. He didn't say they walked in. He said they crept in. They crept in. Snakes slither in. That's the same context. And you didn't notice. You don't get this. And I understand that. You think, well, why didn't they? Are they stupid? No. Even the very elect can be deceived. The very elect can be deceived. Jude tells them that they are already there. And one of the things he says, he begins to tell them how to identify them. And this is where the wisdom comes in. He doesn't name them. He tells them how to figure it out, who they are. So this is how, because what if he had said, well, the names of them are, and I'm just going to use Barb and Janice and Emmy, they're the bad guys. Okay, what if he said that? They'll be like, no, they're not. These are the people I fellowship with. These are the people I hang out with. So he's not going to say that. Why would they believe him? He's going to tell them how to recognize who you tell me, in other words, who they are. Because I'm going to tell you how to recognize them. And he said, they defile the flesh. This simply means that you're going to notice that the people I'm talking about they live immoral lives. They may be living with someone, they be, you know, who knows, but they defile their own flesh. So watch out for that. He doesn't give a name. They despise dominion, which means they have no respect for authority. They have no respect for authority. They will complain about authority that is in place. They speak evil of dignities. That means the people that God has set, again, ministry, they speak evil of them. And this is something I thought that was super cool, that Jude just does not use names at all. He is unwilling to do that. He just tells them, basically, this is the wisdom on this. This is how you know. And then he says, they deny the one and only God and our Lord Jesus Christ, meaning they're going to say there's different ways to get to heaven. It's not just Jesus Christ. He's not just the only Lord. You've heard people, talk show hosts say, and even pastors, there's more than one way to get to heaven. So you're going to know that. And it's not that they deny him by what they say, because the enemy's too smart for that, how they live. He's saying they do not deny him theologically. They deny him practically by how they are living their daily lives. And you're going to be able to see that. Because I have said this before. Someone told me, doesn't so-and-so go to church? And I said to that person, I'm not interested if they go to church. That does not make you a Christian. That does not make you someone who loves Jesus, does it? Because we go to church as in a place. Because we, even if you were to sit on the front row, if you were to stand up here, that does not make you a Christian, does it? So we have to be very, very careful of that. So he's talking about how they live, and he talks to them. Also warns them about how they're going to teach about they're going to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, which means, again, they're going to practice immoral behavior. You're going to see that they're living a wrong life, and they're going to try to give you also a permission to sin. they're going to say, you know, you can too live. You're going to have permission because of the grace of God. But I like this, his warning, because number one, God does not endorse sin. Number two, God doesn't approve of sin. Number three, God will judge sin. Number three, and that's something that is an unpopular message. That is not the most flowery message you will ever hear. But again, to back up my brother Jude, it is a necessary message. And I believe that many, because they live a sinful life, they actually reject salvation, reject God's grace, reject God's mercy, because they've wrongly believed that God is so, they see that God is so merciful today. They're living in the mercy of God. They're living under the age of grace, and God has extended such grace to them that they wrongly believe that he would never judge them, that they would never be judged for their sin because God has really extended such grace to us. And it's a wrong way to teach, and it's a wrong way to think and believe. It's very, very dangerous. It is extremely dangerous. It is extremely dishonoring to God. And something that Jude says that is a very hard, hard warning is he tells us that he actually compares these actual physical people with the angels who were cast out of heaven and who he says God has kept in everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment. They're there right now. The only thing they're waiting for is judgment. The only thing, there's no chance of redemption. The only thing they're facing is judgment. And he says, he compares these people to them. He compares these people to another group, Sodom and Gomorrah, whom were destroyed by fire, and he said again, who now suffer eternal fire. He compares these people. That's pretty hard. It's not that they're doing a little something wrong. They are living ungodly, and they're teaching others to live ungodly, and they're right among you, so be careful. He's warning them to learn to discern, and because these people have gone unnoticed. But here's something that I thought was amazing. This is something the Holy Spirit really put on my heart. That I know this is written in the Word of God to warn us what will happen to these people that creep in, right? Watch this. It's also a warning that will happen if we preach the message of sloppy. It's to us too. It's not just that we notice them. It's like God's telling us, don't become them. Do not be one of them either, because this is what awaits them. And we want to notice and not allow the ungodly to continue to do those things, but we most certainly don't want to be that person, okay? And he's talking to them, and he is supposed to be writing to the church at Jerusalem, so why all of a sudden is he saying this would happen in the last days? This is prophetic. This letter has a prophetic connotation to it here. He's now talking about, you're going to see this in the last days. Guess who's living in the last days? Not the Church of Jerusalem. It is us. This is to us. This is for us now. Because he begins to talk about us. Without calling our names, he's talking about us. And he says, watch this. Now, this is something that is very interesting and also that we need to know. Verse 19 says this in Jude. These are those who separate themselves. They're sensual, not having the Spirit. They are sensual. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm spiritual, but they don't mean they're a Christian, they don't love God? They could be into Ouija boards, into witchcraft, all kinds of things. They are sensual, but they don't have the Spirit. But it says they separate themselves, and that's what hit me. When you separate yourself, that's division. If you separate two godly people who are married, that's division, and it's where we get our word divorce. If you separate yourselves, it doesn't say that God is separating them. It says they are separating themselves. And the Bible says in Galatians, these, they went out from among us because they were not of us, that it might be known to us. And it also says it in 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that it might be manifest that they were not of us. So we have to know that those who bring division are not of us. Now, Jude continues, and he's speaking directly to the church there and to us. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Seeking eternal life. Be asking, keep yourselves. Be asking for mercy. Be seeking the Lord Jesus Christ and keep your focus on eternal life. That's exactly what he's saying here. Keep yourselves. What does that mean? I have a responsibility for me. You're not responsible to keep me on the path of righteousness. I'm responsible. Keep yourself. I have that responsibility. And 22 continues, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And then it says in 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment. And this is not very much longer. Hating even the garment spotted of flesh. Now, I want to talk about two things. First of all, it tells us how to help people. Some people, you have to have compassion. You just, they've got caught in a trap of sin. You need to show them the compassion of Christ. You need to come alongside them, and you need to very gently give them the message. You got to get back on track. But watch this in verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. You're getting that, right? There are some people you have to be so bold with that you almost make them fearful. Listen, this is what's going to happen. Jude says, you cannot withhold the warning because you will actually be pulling them out of the fire if you tell them the truth, such as the message of hell. But it said something interesting that really caught my attention. This I've seen so many times and never even gave it a second thought. Hating even the garment spotted by flesh. This was, not only are we to so hate sin, hate even the garment spotted by flesh. And I asked the Lord, I need an example for that. And I began to study it out, and I remembered a story. God caused me to remember a story of my own personal life that I'll share. A long, long time ago, long ago, when I was living a life of sin and going places and doing things that I should not do at all. And I bought a dress. I went to a party with someone that I should not have went to a party with ever. And I had the most amazing, not church-like dress ever. And it was stunning. It was not church-like. And after I began to live for Christ, that dress hung in my closet for a very, very, very long time. And in the back of my closet. And every time I would see that dress, there would be a slight temptation, desire for a party, for that, it was, I remembered everything. And I tried several times to just get rid of it, and for some reason, I couldn't. And then I started having a real strong conviction. I bought a stupid dress in the closet. I had a conviction, and finally, I just kept hearing, when are you going to get rid of it? When are you going to fully walk away? And when I seen this verse yesterday, hating even the garment spotted by flesh, it got me. There are, and I had decided, the rest of the story is I had decided that I would throw it away, and I was so convicted that I felt like I needed to burn it. And I was home alone, and I was at my other house, and I burned the dress. I got rid of it. And I felt like a freedom then. I felt like a freedom. But there's a lesson here. There are some things that you might need to get rid of. Physical things from your past. I'd rather burn a dress than me burn an eternal fire. You really might need not to go in that restaurant ever again. You really might need to get rid of that song and never play that song again. You might need to not ever have fellowship with that person again. I'd rather, what does the Bible say? Pluck your eye out if you're given to lust. It doesn't say, you know, the Bible is very, very bold. God is very, very bold. And the reason he's that bold is we're talking about eternity here. We are talking about eternal life. And it's a lesson. I could go on and on, but I have many examples in my life. It's how the first way, you know, I can remember my brother and I were talking, and it was him who really said it first. He said, the most spiritual thing you can do to begin to fix your life and clean up your life, other than repent at an altar, is get yourself a garbage bag. If you're living, you know what? That is the truth. I mean, I can't tell you as a mother, Sandra probably could tell you as a mother how many CDs I've gotten rid of, and I can so clearly remember stomping on CDs in my kitchen that were my daughter Candy's, and her telling me those don't even belong to me, they belong to someone else. I said, send their parents on over. I'll handle this from here. You know, as if, you know, I'm going to get in some huge trouble for that. You know, I'm pretty sure that that person who gave her those CDs, they didn't want their mother to come over and talk about those either, if she had an ounce of sense. So I think that warnings are good for us, don't you? And I appreciate the book of Jude. I appreciate who he is. I appreciate his dedication to the church. I appreciate his dedication to you and I today, or we wouldn't be reading these warnings that even we need. In verse 24, Jude is going to close out the book, and he's saying his final words, and he says, now unto him, and this is really a high note to close it out. He said, now unto him who is able to keep you here tonight, all of you here tonight, from falling. It's God who's going to keep me from falling. It's God who told me to burn the dress. It's God who brought you here to hear the word of God. Unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless, without fault, before the presence of the glory of his with exceeding joy. God is able to keep us from being tricked and from falling into a trap. He's able to keep us from becoming the ungodly one. And he's able to protect us from the one who creeps in and tries to seduce us. And verse 25 says, to the only wise God, there is only one wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever, to God. And he said, amen, and let it be so. And I love this book. I love this study. It's such a short book. It's worth going over. It's worth going home and you reading it and gleaning from it. I'm sure that if you go home and you read the book of Jude, you can even find more things that God will open up your eyes to things, because that's our God. That's what he does. And I love that. But we're going to transition now for a few minutes. Thank you for coming to the Jude study. But we're going to transition because something has been on my heart. Last night, Sandra and I went over to my sister's old house where my nephew was staying, Jonathan. And Sandra and Jonathan and Kelly and I started talking. We actually started talking about planning a revival. And we started talking about how for many years the enemy had kept us separate. And there was we talked about a little bit tonight about division and about separation. And unity is everything, and us being together. But I believe in my heart, and was sharing with Jonathan, that God is bringing us back to our roots. God is really bringing us home, all of us, home to Jesus, home to the altar, home to where we should be in the Lord. And we have a lot of children. I know we have some in our family, you have some in yours, that are not serving God. And that can be a real sad feeling, because you don't have that assurance. And that's what you want, and that's what you desire as parents. And I know that a lot of parents will beat themselves up, say, I've made a lot of mistakes, and that's true. But that's what the mercy and grace of God is all about. But we are given some promises in God's word for our children, and that includes our adult children. And that's been on my heart for some time now. And we wound up praying last night, and we'll continue that. But I want to read Psalm 91, 10 to 11. You know Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection. And it says, for those who are abiding in him, God's promises. No evil or plague shall come near our household. And his angels, remember my mom's testimony about angels yesterday, his angels give divine protection. Do you believe that? Isaiah 54:13 says, all your children will be taught by the Lord. I used to think that said of the Lord, but it actually, both words are correct, but I like the word by the Lord. Your children will be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. The Bible also says, the captives of warriors will be released, and the plunder of tyrants will be retrieved, for I will fight those who fight you, and I will save your children. I will save your children. I want to play this prophecy from John that John Kilpatrick gave about our children, and you'll see very quickly that it's also a word to us also. But the title of it is, I Have Marked Your Children. I have marked your children. And I believe that with all of my heart, that he has marked our children. So let's hear this.
I have already marked your seed. They shall not be outside, but they will be inside the ark of my presence. You have become drunk with the cares of this life, and you are troubled in mind and spirit, says the Lord. You are troubled by the things you have come to believe will be beyond your reach, but you must know that I have heard your prayers from the first day you came to me with tears and a trembling heart about your concern. I have already answered the very thing that you are anxious about. Your seed will touch many. They have been chosen from long ago. They will emerge at the hour of my choosing. These children of yours will be almost unrecognizable to you because I will anoint them to do exploits. They will know me and they will accomplish all I have laid my hand on them to do. Not only will they do great things, but they will be in the company of those I am raising up who also will do great things. They will be friends with mighty evangelists. They will be friends with anointed psalmists, as well as highly anointed, influential Christian leaders. And God said your children and your grandchildren will meet together regularly to share amazing stories of breakthrough and answered prayers. And some of their stories, God said, will even exceed your own stories. I have declared this to be so even before you were wed. They will become even greater than you can imagine. They have my name already stamped upon their forehead and shall go in and out of places where others cannot go. As for you, you have fretted and grieved about what kind of footprint you will leave behind. God said, oh, but you cannot yet see what I have in store for you. Your previous footprint cannot compare to what God is going to do. I have already declared your end from your beginning. You are attempting to see in a dark place where my glory has not yet fully arisen upon what I'm going to do with you. You're looking through a glass darkly. My golden light will arise upon you and shall be seen upon you. Just as with Sarah of old, your last trimester is going to produce far greater than you have ever known. The thing that I'm birthing in you, I'm giving you the authority to tend to care for, and to bring to fruition the things that I have promised you, not somebody else. After a short travail, you will attend to what you have been carrying that no one else could see. What you knew as a sketch will all be filled in with bold lines and dramatic color and framed just for this season of your life. What you once despised will be displayed as a complete work of my grace and glory. The things that you had to go through that caused you tears and heartbreak and anguish and even a loss of confidence and at times a loss of faith, God said what you once despised, that season that you had to go through, will now be on display like a piece of art on an easel. And it will be a completed work of my grace and my glory. Your voice will be heard. Your halting lack of confidence will melt away. I will cause your voice to carry others, and your words will become beams of light for those still struggling, like you once struggled for so long, caught between yesterday and today. Do not attempt to look into my glorious plans because your eye can't see and your ear can't yet hear, and it's not yet entered into your mind what I'm going to do. What I have for you has appeared to you as a bucking stallion that you were unable to get on and ride. But when you finally mount the season that I've been preparing for you, you'll find out it wasn't a horse at all that wasn't ready, it was you. You'll mount up with ease, and your latter footprint will be far greater than all the previous misunderstood years. Only those who have been meek will ride with me in that day that I have declared and revealed unto you. This day I have measured you, I have marked you and yours, and I will give you my hidden manna so that you may have the strength for the days ahead. Rejoice! I have not only hidden you in my pavilion, But I have hidden your sons and your daughters, and they shall abide under the shadow of my wings. I, the Lord, am more able to perform what I have promised.
You place so that we're going to pray for our children. I believe in my heart that for so many years that the enemy, our children have went far away, so many of them, and we see that some of them even falling at times, and I feel like that brings discouragement into our hearts, and the enemy has tried to cause us to doubt that they really ever will come in. That this is just probably not going to happen for me, not for my children. And I know that I've experienced that in my own life. I mean, to be very, very transparent with you, all of you know, and by the way, you know, I'm, you know, sharing about my oldest daughter is not serving God like she's supposed to. She is not back into her whole old life, but that doesn't mean you are serving God with all of your heart, mind, and soul. But when you see somebody go back and forth, it just means that they're struggling to break through. And I know that our children, but I can see it in our lives. You know, as Sandra and Jonathan and Kelly and I talked last night, for Jonathan to come to the Lord, it took a dream of him in hell. It took a dream of him in hell. And I know now that we pray for our children, and we may have to trust for many, many years. But God's going to do this in his season, in his way, in his time, because our children are marked for the Lord. God heard the prayers of my father and of my grandmother who lays under the earth. He heard the prayers of those who walked before us. And he's heard our prayers. And we don't have to be perfect people. We are blood-bought, redeemed people. And our obedience to God, our children are watching. They are watching you. They may think you are crazy. You are insane. You are a radical. You are just the most out there person they ever knew. But guess what? Someday they're going to be so grateful that you are who you are. Let's stand, and I just want to pray for our children, especially our adult children. Our adult children that God is dealing with right now. I believe that we have adult children that God is dealing with. Father, we just come before you and we just lay our children at the altar. Like the mother said, whose son went to prison for life for murdering his wife. The mother said, I had to lay my Isaac on the altar just like Abraham did. Father, we lay each of our children. We know them by name, Father God. We lay them on the altar, Father God. And whether we see them going away or coming, their comings, their goings, whether we don't even know what they're doing, Father God, I know that you're doing something. I know that you are working behind the scenes. I know that you are speaking to them. And even, Father God, when I heard most recently that one of our children that is away from the Lord said, I'm tormented. I am tormented. So God, whatever it takes, Father, that will cause them to come back to you, to repent and come into the kingdom of God, then Father God, so be it. Father, we just thank you for every circumstance that's going to lead them home, that they're going to come home not to us, but to you, and then you'll give them back to us, Father God. They first have to come home to you so that you can give them back to us, Father God. So there are sons represented in this room tonight. There are sons that are away, but I know that you are dealing with those sons. There are daughters that are away, and I know that you are dealing with those daughters and cousins and aunts. Father, you are dealing with these people, Father God. And I thank you for every child will come in. And Father God, for so many years, I've reminded of that old song that used to discourage me, when we all get to heaven. People would dance and sing when we all get to heaven. And my heart would be grieved because I thought all can't go to heaven. Until you, one night you spoke to me and said, all can go to heaven, Pam. All can go to heaven. Why don't you claim the all? And at the first of the year when God told me, he said to ask big And you know that I ask for the restoration of our family, and that is taking place even as we speak and has taken place. If you will ask God big, God will. He is a great God. He will. He didn't say he might bring our children. He didn't say our children might be saved. He didn't say they could say be saved. He didn't say they should be saved. He said they will be saved. Father, it doesn't matter how many years it's been, because this is about eternity. It's not about 20 years, 30 years. It's about eternity, Father God. And they're going to start asking questions. And I ask that you would send laborers into their life. I ask that you would send anointed people in their life that know exactly what to say. I ask that you would give them dreams, Father God, and visions like you did Jonathan, Father. I ask that you would speak their language, Father God. Father, we say things and sometimes we turn them off, but you speak their language, Father. So I ask you in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, speak. Holy Spirit, speak to them in the night hours. Trouble their soul, Father God, that they would seek you, Father, that they would awaken, that they would wake up from their slumber, and that they would come back into the house of the Lord, that they would make the phone call, that they would come, Father. In Jesus' name, we claim them for the kingdom of God, Lord. And Father, I love what John Kilpatrick prophesied over us. You don't even know yet what God's going to do in your life. God is not finished. It is not over. You may yourself see yourself working with your children. Just like I work with Sandra and Dan and Jonathan. You work with your children side by side in the body of Christ. And I believe for our children. Father God, we are the family of God. I believe that they'll be meeting together, one with another, that the sons and daughters will meet together. They will remember one another from long ago, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our children tonight. Father, we thank you for the warnings in the book of Jude tonight, that we have been warned, Father God, and that we are awake to that warning, Lord. We want to be serious. We want to be faithful, Father God. Each and every one, anoint each and every one here, Father God. Heal them. If there's anything wrong, Father God, it does not appear that there is anything wrong. But Father God, you know inside us, you see inside us, Father, and if there is, fix it, heal it right now in Jesus' name. Keep the enemy from us, Father God, far from our dwelling place, Lord. We thank you for your presence. Fill this house, oh God. Father God, I ask for the finances of this church that we so need right now. Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus, I ask that we would be able to help families. I ask that we would be able to reach out and meet these needs that are presented, Father God, that I can't even share, Father God, but I just thank you that you are helping us, Father God. And I ask, Father God, for all of these things. Father, I ask for Margarito Sr. Father God, tonight we are told that he is absolutely not responding, that he will not, that he cannot, that he would. But Father God, I ask, Father God, that even the word an hour ago, I cancel it, Father God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you have the ability to raise him up, Father God. But Lord, we do realize, and we lay him on the altar tonight, because it's about eternity. It's about souls, Father God. Father, in Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, work. Do the work in this body right here, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you in advance. Father God, we thank you as a down payment on things that we haven't even seen yet, Lord, that you're doing, but we haven't physically seen them yet. But we're going to see them, things we haven't heard of, testimonies we haven't heard, we thank you for. That we will hear them, Father God. We will see them, Father. In Jesus' name, we just give you praise. We give you praise, Father God, for all that you're doing and for who you are most of all. Most of all, not just for what you're doing, not just for what you did in our lives, but what you are yet to do and are doing. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. You are so wonderful, God. Heal, Father God. Heal Tony's eyes. Heal Willie, Father God. Heal Pastor Ken's eyes. Father God, heal my physical body, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father God, every test will come back the right way that it should come back, Lord. Father, heal people of cancer that may not even know they have it, Father God. We just rebuke it, Father. Heal them in Jesus' name. Be with Ashley, this little girl we prayed for last week, Lord. Heal her body. Raise her up in Jesus' name to your glory, Father God. Lord, we give you honor and glory for all that you are, who you are, Lord. You are worthy, 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 Lord. Worthy is the Lamb, we thank you, God. King of kings and Lord of lords, my King, my Lord, Father. We claim you, Jesus. Father, we honor you and worship you, Lord. Bring us back safe the next time we meet again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a good video? Wasn't that an encouraging video? Did your heart not be encouraged tonight? Mine did.